Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly blog radio show. We've got Steve with us today, Steve Cromer, who does our technical work and customer service. And I'm Janice Cromer. I'm the director, and I basically concentrate on customer service and planning our rendezvous. AGLCA, as we call ourselves, is an organization of people who share a sense of adventure about America's Great Loop. For those not familiar with the Great Loop, it's really the continuous waterway that exists. It's a circle of the eastern portion of North America. Our association was formed primarily to get everyone information about this awesome journey. For those wishing to learn more about the Great Loop, please visit our website at www.greatloop.org. Non-members can join the association at the site, or anyone can sign up for one of our brand new one-day seminars. They're planned to give a wealth of information and introduce everyone to the cruising lifestyle that's the Great Loop. They're being held in Charleston in November and Florida in January. Our guest host this week, I'm so happy to have them back, are our well-known members, Jim and Lisa Favors. Jim and Lisa have been frequent guests on our radio show. They're AGLCA Gold Loopers, and they're part of the AGLCA Advisory Council. Their knowledge of the looping lifestyle and all things boating is just limitless. This week, we'll be learning about the story behind their popular books, When the Water Calls, We Follow, and Women on Board Cruising. Jim and Lisa, welcome, and thank you so much.
Morning, Jana.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Before we get started, I should tell everyone that if you have a question or comment that's pertinent to the subject, please just call our toll-free number, 877-497-1815. I'm sure Jim and Lisa will be happy to answer your questions. I kind of threw that in, Jim and Lisa. I hope it's okay. Where would you like to start? I would like to know the first idea about the books. Where did it all begin?
Well, Lisa and I have debates about that. I guess it was back in 2005, shortly after we departed Michigan on the loop, we came up with the idea of, boy, wouldn't it be great to come up with a book, compile a bunch of stories about people from various backgrounds, different reasons on why they're doing the loop, what kind of boats, et cetera, for the benefit of others that are thinking about doing the loop, might not have a chance to meet other loopers if they haven't gone to a rendezvous. Maybe they live in, you know, away from the loop route where they don't have the opportunity like we did to run into people in Charlevoix, Michigan, where loopers come through. So it started about a month after we started the loop, the idea formulating.
So you were actually, you actually had the idea when you started the loop?
No, about a month after we started the loop.
Month after, but I mean while you were doing the loop, that was kind of in your thinking.
Yeah.
Correct.
And we were so taken by the how much fun we were having and what an adventure it was. And just like somebody shared with us information about the loop, and got us excited to, because we never heard of it before, and however, we were already boaters, but we just hadn't heard about it. They shared information, and they encouraged us to do it, and then when we were on our loop and fully realizing how much fun it was and what it, a great adventure we were having, I think the idea came up that it would be really neat to share some of those experiences with other people.
And now When the Water Calls, We Follow came first.
Yes.
And that was compiled while you were on the loop. When did you decide to do Women on Board Cruising?
Well, that came about on our second loop. A few years later, we were going up and down the East Coast. We spent the summer in Solomons, Maryland, and I had spent more time on the second loop talking to other women boaters, and similar things came up about, you know, wishing they knew this beforehand or that, and I guess that's where I got the idea that wouldn't it be neat to have a kind of supportive book for women considering, you know, doing long-term cruising.
Besides that, on the second book, I think it had a lot to do with, there's a lot of guys out there that would like their wife or girlfriend or significant other to go on this trip with them, but sometimes they don't know how to quite approach them to get them or convince them to do it. And by reading the stories of 25 or 6 different women, it gave them some sales ammunition to get their part of the job accomplished to realize their dream. And it also helped the women realize that and learn how they could cut their ties that they may be attached to at home and not wanting to give up, like, you know, their daily routine, getting away from kids or grandkids or handling the mail, the bills, et cetera.
I personally read Women on Board Cruising when we were just starting a cruise from Charleston, South Carolina to Washington, D.C. I just found it completely motivating and very, very helpful to my attitude about long-term cruising. So I can vouch that you accomplished it. So your motivation behind the books were really to help the other people thinking about the loop and what it was all about. That's great. Was there any other reason to keep busy, or do you like to keep busy when you're cruising? Or I can imagine that was a massive undertaking every day. Did you do notes on a computer? How did you handle the information?
With the Women on Board Cruising specifically?
Either one.
Well, the first one was, you know, trial and error, and we'd never done anything like that before, so it definitely was a learning lesson. We thought it was important to show different perspectives, and that's why we went with, you know, not writing a book ourselves, but putting together a book of many different experiences, because loopers are all different. They have different reasons for doing it. They approach it differently. So both books have that element to it. And the second book definitely was easier. I knew how to go about it. I knew what questions to ask the women and be very specific as to what I wanted the book to end up being. And they were all so helpful. They gave me exactly what I wanted, and it just went together a lot easier. And, you know, it was just a really fun project, and I think partially because we'd done the book earlier, and the second one was a little bit easier that way.
I was just really curious, not quite sure how to word it. Did you basically, while you were cruising, did you ask everyone you met to interview? Did they know you were doing a book, or how did you decide who to ask to participate?
Well, the first book, I remember handing out pamphlets at little cocktail hours with other loopers.
We always have our cocktails.
Yeah, and we printed out some things and a little flyer and with information, and so we did that the first time. The second time, I really emailed every woman, you know, that I had met on the loop. That thought that they might be able to contribute something. And surprisingly, in both cases, we got, you know, right around between 25 and 30 responses, and that's what we went with.
So it was a pretty easy decision. I think we're going to take a quick break, if that's okay with you, Lisa and Jim, and we're going to be doing a commercial from one of our Commander sponsors, Drummond Island Yacht Haven.
Drummond Island Yacht Haven is your home away from home while on your Great Loop journey. They are your first U.S. Customs port of entry after leaving Canada's North Channel and the perfect winter storage destination. They have a 70-ton travel lift, heated storage, and can provide transportation to the airport. Their full-service technicians help you get on your way quickly or can work on your upgrades over the winter. Enjoy fine dining, free Wi-Fi, and a full-service marina during your stop at Drummond Island Yacht Haven. For more information, call 800-543-4743 or visit them online at diyachthaven.com.
Thanks, Beth. Lisa, so basically the decision on whom to invite was basically just about anybody that you could think of and just about everybody. Well, you had 30 participants or 20, I think it was 25 and 26 for each book, correct?
27 for the Loop Great, the When the Water Calls, and 25 for Women on Board Cruising.
Which was a great response and gives a nice mix of attitudes and personalities in the book. How was the decision made on who to include? Basically, was it everybody who responded, or did you have to weed it out at all?
It ended up being, you know, the people that responded and were excited about contributing.
Great. Did you have anyone who was kind of wary about being included?
Yes. There were some people hesitant, and if I thought they had a different aspect to share, a different perspective, I really encouraged them and told them I would help them. And really, in some cases, I think those were some of the best contributions. You know,
really, my goodness.
Yeah.
I can imagine some people might be a little bit hesitant to have their name in print, and in some cases, there were very, you know, personal observations, and people might be hesitant to share that—not really share it, but to make it known to the public. I can understand that. When you finally got the information together, how long did it take the final editing, the compilation, to take you? And that was mostly you, Lisa, wasn't it?
Well, this is Jim here. The compilation, after we got everything back, then Lisa would read it and proofread it, and then we'd make some corrections, and I would read it and proofread it and make some corrections, and Lisa would do it again. And then after that was all done, we'd send it off to a proofreader, and they made some final adjustments, and then we got the final adjustment. We, I think, let the writers take a look at the final draft. And we used that approach to the people that were hesitant because we wanted their stories to let them know that it was going to be managed in that process in the event that, you know, they were concerned about their writing skills. I think that helped some people get over that hump if they indeed were concerned about it. So that was kind of the process that we went through.
So the people that contributed did have a final okay on what was going to be published.
Yes.
Did anyone say no after they saw the what was completed?
One person questioned the signing off on it,
We don't want to know who it was, but I just was curious if anybody just decided no.
No, everybody went along.
Everyone was very helpful and cooperative. It's just amazing. You know, everyone was very excited to do it, and I think proud of, you know, being part of it.
That's great. How long did the whole process take once all of the input was in, you know, the double, triple proofreading and, you know, final okays?
Well, the first book, of course, took longer. It was a whole new process for us. I do all the design work and the layout and all that stuff, which really helped us, you know, on the financial end of it. The second book took a lot less time, I would say almost half the time, because we'd already been through the process.
Good throw at one.
You know, all the ins and outs. And like I said, since I think I knew what questions to ask and how to direct them in their writing in their contribution, I think the whole process just went smoother and faster.
I think the first book, probably from the time we started thinking about it till it actually came out, was 2 years. And the second one, from the time it actually started till it came out, might have been 1 year.
Yeah.
It's still a very, very long undertaking. Well, there's a tremendous amount of work behind it all. Leading question, is there a third book in the works, or at least the gem of an idea yet?
We have.
Yeah, we have a third book, it has to do with our trailering activities. It's called The Upside of Downsizing with the Trailable Trawler. And there's a fourth book that I'm working on specifically right now. It has to do with the canyon cruising, and again, it has to do with the trailerable aspect of our boating lifestyle.
For the listeners out there, Jim and Lisa have downsized to a trailerable boat. I believe we had a blog radio show that they spoke on about a trailerable boat, and have really been cruising very, very consistently on trips that you just can't do with a big boat. You are very active in some Trailerable Association, aren't you, Jim and Lisa?
Yeah, it's the Tug Nuts, which is basically a Ranger Tug Owners, which is what we own. But
we got the
trailerable boat to go places we wanted to get to that we couldn't get to with the bigger boat. And we also got the trailerable trawler so we could return to places on the Great Loop that we liked so well, but didn't want to re-cruise the entire route to get there.
Loop. I understand. Steve, do you have any questions about the books themselves?
No, I don't.
Okay, well... I do want to remind everyone that Jim and Lisa will be at our fall rendezvous in October. Jim will be talking about the St. John's River, and he'll do our session on Tarpon Springs to Key West. And, of course, Lisa will be there, too. I'm sure they'll be happy to answer any questions any of our attendees have, and their books will be in our ship store. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Jim and Lisa?
We'd love to talk to anybody about any aspect of boating or cruising, the loop, trailer boat trawlering.
Would you mind giving us the URL of your website, of the blog site for the loop?
For the loop, it's favorsgreatloopblog.com.
And is there, you have another one specific to trailering, I believe?
Yes. It's trailertrawlerlife.com.
Fantastic. Well, unless you have anything to add, I think we'll close for this week. We're looking forward to seeing you at the fall rendezvous. It's coming up very, very quickly. And thanks again, Jim and Lisa. You're always, always welcome on our blog radio show. And everyone, for the coming week, safe cruising. Talk to you next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Janice.
Thanks, Janice and Steve.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.